Morning, everybody. The beautiful summer weekend. Hopefully everybody is doing well. I say my kids are like, I say they're like, they're hungover on summer fun. Honestly, every morning they're like, I think every person who spoke in the beginning thanked our pastors. And I think it's just like, it just last week, I'm like, oh, there's Frank going at it again. And I think it's so important and so good. So thank you for that little introduction to me. But I'm so thankful for the past 10 years of being under their leadership. And that's what we do, right? We come under leadership and it's, there's safety in it. And I feel so safe under them. I'm going to get all teary. I'm just so thankful that they root for our freedom. And just our destinies and just all that God has for us. So thank you guys. Thank you for trusting all of us. I always think like, man, they're so trusting to let us up here. But what a series, huh? Roots of character. Pastor, I said a couple, like in the beginning of the year or something, this is what I want to do in the summer, roots of character. Why do we want good roots? Because we want good fruit, right? Good roots. Good fruit. It's a root to fruit thing. We want good fruit. And the Beatitudes, these attitudes that we are to be, it's not like behavior modification, right? It's actually a soul condition. It's what life can look like as a Christian, what it can look like in regular life. And I like to ask the question, why? Probably because I work mostly with kids and I hear why a lot. But why? Why be meek? Why be merciful? Why have, Ryan's going to talk on pure of heart. Why hunger and thirst for the things of God and not just go after all the things that fill us but don't really actually fill us? Why? And I think part of the answer is what Jesus says right after the Beatitudes. He says, you are the salt of the earth. So being these attitudes, it's not just so we can have a community here at Harvest of just really nice people. Being nice is good. But it's actually so we can go out and be salt in the earth. And salt heals, it preserves, it protects, it adds flavor, it adds goodness. I love salt. I probably eat way too much salt. But the people in this culture understood that more. Like salt brings such goodness, and that's why we want to be these attitudes so we can be salt in the earth. So this is week 5. Blessed are the merciful. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And everyone loves a good definition. I'm all, like, when I started, when I had this week, I'm like, wait, what does mercy mean again? Compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards someone else. Not giving someone something they deserve. Forgiveness. All tricky things, right? And what I'm about to talk about today is so countercultural, but all of these Beatitudes are. But I think specifically merciful because our world and our culture can be mean and cruel. And unfortunately, sometimes Christian circles can be as well. So I think what we talk about today is going to really help us not do that. Because as Pastor Chris Hodges has said, we at times have become very good judges of other people's sin and great lawyers of our own. And we want to not do that, right? So just really quick, what mercy is not. Pastor Roy, if you did not listen to his message, at least some, because I was eating every word up because it's so much like what I'm going to speak today too, kind of similarities. And he talked about like, how do we be meek? How do we be merciful in this dog eat dog type of world? Because there is a way to do it. And what mercy is not, really quick, is not just cover up sin, just pretend we don't see it. Everything's okay. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not actually mercy. Mercy is not, sometimes mercy is forgiveness, but sometimes it's not safe to continue a relationship. So it doesn't always mean like reconciling with that person, but it does mean doing good to the people that hurt us, which we'll talk about. So let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much. You're already here. Thank you for our worship team and just the gloriousness of that 20 minutes that we had in your presence. You're so good. You're so committed to us. We love you. God, open up our hearts. Use me. Speak through me in all of my imperfections. We trust you. We love you. Amen. So I like to start with the why. I like whys. So why should we show mercy? Look at this. Number one. This is number one because it's number one. It's the most important thing. If you leave here remembering anything, remember this point. God has been merciful to me. Why should I show mercy? Because God has been merciful to me. Look at this verse, Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God's mercy is so, is it up there? Oh, no, it's not. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. I'll just read it. But God's mercy is so abundant and his love for us is so great that we, while we were still spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It is by God's grace that we have been saved. We would do ourselves a huge favor. I would do myself a favor if I reminded myself of this just for 15 seconds in the morning every day. God, you have been merciful to me. And I couldn't get this out of my head when I was preparing. Like, just for this, I want to take like 15 seconds. And our music and our lights, like Ryan reminded us at Huddle 1 week, a couple weeks ago, that why we do what we do, we want to make his praise glorious. And it's so great. But sometimes it's really good to just practice in the silence without all of the music and the lights and stuff. So how everyone just close our eyes. And I just want you to just think about God's mercy towards you and thank him. You can just whisper it in your heart. It doesn't have to be loud or anything. Thank you, God, for your mercy toward me. You're so committed to me. Keep your eyes closed. And as I was preparing just for this point, I could not get this song out of my head. And if you know it, just like sing along. There's a little bridge that I just love. It's called Remembrance. If you know this part, sing it with me. It goes like this. You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. Oh, God, where would we be without your mercy toward us? You've been so good to us. Where would we be, God? Oh. Guys, if as followers of Jesus, we are actually marked by mercy, whether we feel it or not in the moment, we are marked by mercy. Therefore, we have a calling. We all have individual callings, of course. But we all have this actually same calling. As followers of Jesus, we've been marked by mercy. So we get to be ministers of mercy to the world around us. So great. And actually, what a minister is just meeting the needs of someone else. We're all ministers. I asked Pastor Roy for a couple, we think he is the minister. He is our pastor. And guess what? Like last week, I was like, can I just like meet with you real quick? Well, I'm actually driving. He had a phone meeting with me on the way home from a hospital meeting with someone, a minister, meeting the needs of someone. But that's actually all of our calling because we're marked by mercy. We can be ministers of mercy to the world around us. Number two, God, why should I show mercy? God commands me to be merciful. Micah 6:8, God has told you what's good and what he requires from you. To do what's right with others, to love being merciful to others, and to live humbly in fellowship with God. One third of these requirements is about mercy is probably very important, right? Probably important. There's Jesus tells a parable. It's actually called the parable of the unmerciful servant. And it's about a king who wants to settle some debts. And he goes to someone who owes him a lot of money and says, hey, got to pay up. And the person cannot pay up at all. And the king, long story short, ends up showing him complete mercy and just releasing him of that debt. And amazing, in awe, that guy ends up going to someone who owes him a couple $100s, says, hey, pay up. The person can't. And he ends up throwing that person in prison and does not show mercy. And Jesus is really intense at the end of this, at the end of this parable. And at the end, he says, Matthew 18:33, shouldn't you have mercy on others just as I have had mercy on you? He's really, really, go and read Matthew 18 because Jesus is really intense at the end because there's something that actually angers God. When we receive something that we're unwilling to give to someone else, Ouch. Ow. I felt that before. But he actually commands us to be merciful. But it's when we first, number one, receive God's mercy and experience it, it is easier to show it to someone else. But there is something at that, when we see it with Jesus's intensity at the end of Matthew 18, man, when we receive something that we're unwilling to give to someone else. Okay, if you thought that one was intense, get ready for number three. Number three is, why should I show mercy? I'll face God one day. James 2:13, you must show mercy to others, or God will not show mercy to you when he judges you. But the person who shows mercy can stand without fear at the judgment. We all, at the end of our lives, will stand before God one day. And it says that he is our judge. He's a good God. He is also our judge. But we can stand without fear when we show mercy. And I really think at the end of our lives, I mean, I don't know for sure, but when we stand before Jesus, stand before God, I doubt he's going to say, you were just too merciful, too forgiving. You just forgave and forgave and forgave. You were way too merciful to that person, to that waitress, to the whatever. You were just way too merciful, Brittany. I don't think so. Pastor Chris Hodges has a one-liner that has wrecked me over the past couple weeks. It says, let's stand before God having loved too much than having judged too harshly. Let's do that harvest. Let's be a community that can really grasp that. That when people say, oh, you're part of that church. Oh, yeah, that makes sense in a good way. Let's stand before God having loved too much. And I'm not saying that that's easy all the time, rather than having judged too harshly. The last one, there's lots of reasons. But number four, showing mercy nourishes my soul. I just have one verse. Read this. Listen to this. Is this all showing up? It doesn't matter. Proverbs, just soak it in. Just listen. Proverbs 11:17. This is King James Version. I like this version the best. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Dang. All the self-help books and everything, actually just go show mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it and you're going to do your soul good. Like, okay, so we got the why done. I want to talk about facets of mercy now. Like just as a diamond like has different facets, so does mercy. And so this is, I didn't number them because I was like, there's too many. So I don't want to put a number on it and then be like, Brittany, you have 9 points. That's too many. That's what my husband usually tells me. But so I didn't even put a number by them. So I don't even know how many there are. But if you can think of more, just add it. But I have facets of mercy. And then I have a question to ask ourselves at the end. And I added a question because our part in the story matters. Right? And in Schoolagers downstairs, the curriculum, I love it. They changed it up a bit. And at the end of the Bible story, it says, and what's your part in the story? Love it. And then it tells what their part in the story is. I love kids' church. It's so great. It helps you. And I want us, how we take what we're listening to today and how we use it when we walk out the doors, that's what matters, right? That's what matters. So questions to ask ourselves. So first facet, some of these are kind of funny, okay? First facet, mercy is being patient with people's quirks. God, oh, the way he chews or the way, whatever, I don't know. Ephesians 2:4-2. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially those who may try your patience. James 2:13, the man who makes no allowance for others will find none made for him. It is still true that mercy smiles in the face of judgment. I asked Ryan, I was like, hey, one of my points is gonna be like, be patient with someone, mercy is being patient with people's quirks. I asked him, I'm like, hey, can you tell me like a quirk that you've learned to live with and that you're just, you're patient with of mine? And he goes, okay, like, so do you want one or do you like want me to write a whole list? I was like, thank you, Ryan. But honestly, it's true because we're all quirky. We all are quirky. Like just, you know, some more than others, but like we all have our quirks that are just annoying and, you know, just all of that. And we really actually, we show mercy to the world around us when we as Christians, for number one, as followers of Jesus, don't get all worked up, annoyed, angry, irritated, all in a tizzy just because of some people's quirks, that we're just actually just patient with them. I'm not talking sin that destroys people's lives. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about quirks. Okay, so the question for us to ask ourselves is, who has irritating quirks that I need to be patient with this week? Who has irritating quirks that I need to be patient with this week? And if you could put an initials by then, by that, like write your spouse's name. I don't know, maybe not, but. So mercy, second facet. Mercy is helping anyone hurting around me. Some people were asking Jesus what the most important thing in the kingdom of God was. And he says, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And then they were asking like, well, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus tells a parable, tells a story. And it's the story of the good Samaritan. So there's this guy who's beaten down, stuff stolen from him on the side of the road. People pass him. I think it says like a priest passed him. Like a lot of people passed him, didn't. I don't want to get messy with that. And then finally someone comes and takes him, brings him where he needs to go, takes care of him, pays all the bills and says, hey, I'll be back. And if there's any other bills I need to pay, I'll pay. And then Jesus says like, who did the right thing here? And it says the one who showed the most mercy. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it's due when it's in your power to act, when it's in our power to act, when it's like it's, we can do something, right? I go over the border a lot because I'm American, all my family's over there and some of Ryan's family's over there. So we're over the border so much since it's been open. And just a couple months ago, we go through the bridge toll and then the border, right? So the bridge is super fast, especially because we have a bridge card. It's like beep, go. But we got there and there's like a car in front of me and we had waited for like maybe a minute and there was a bunch of cars behind me. And I could see the lady, like I recognize all these people because we're over so much. The lady was like scrambling, you know, like get the papers into the computer and all that. And all of a sudden the honking started. And my kids noticed. And I'm like, this is awesome. I love on-the-job training. Like, this is great. So Everest, he's 7. He's like, why is there so much honking? And so I was like, you know what, bud? Like, actually, that's people honking to hurry her. And it's really rude. And so I just asked, I was like, hey, like the reason, and I talked, I'm like, why do you think we have a horn on our car? Like I went into all these, maybe I'm an intense parent, but like, I'm like, the reason we have a horn is like if a deer or if someone is at a stop sign in front of you and like, they're not going, like a little beep, like that helps. Right. And it gets someone out of the way if they're about to hit you. Like that's why we have a horn. This is not why we have a horn. So I went into all that and I was like, I'm like, do you think this is actually helpful to the situation or harmful? He's like, I think harmful. I'm like, yep. Anyway. So, and I recognize this woman. I'm like, guys, you know what? Like, This is what we're going to do. When we go up, we know this lady. We're going to say like, hey, I can tell this is really stressful and I'm so sorry for the honking. I bet that was stressful. So we got up there. I rolled down the window so the kids can hear too. I was like, hey, recognized her. She's so flustered. And I go, hey, I just wanted to say, I'm so sorry for all of that honking. Whoever was honking, I'm so sorry. That must have been really stressful. You could see it melt off of her. And she's like, oh, the computer, it was all, something was wrong with the computer. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Within our power to help, right? Salt in the earth. I am salt of the earth at the toll booth, right? We are salt of the earth at the toll booth. We're salt of the earth in the grocery store. Let's be that harvest. Let's be, it just took it a little bit. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I was like, you don't have to apologize. It's fine. We can wait, right? For one moment. Who around me is hurting that I can help this week? Hurting emotionally, hurting like physically, or just have a really busy week. You can think of someone that's having a really busy week. We make them a meal or we do something that's showing mercy. People hurting around me. Mercy is doing good to those who hurt me. This is a really tough one. And when I, every time I got to this one, when I was like going through my notes and stuff, I'm like, ugh. Because it's one thing when someone hurts you, but it's a whole other thing to learn to forgive and do that whole process of forgiveness when they hurt someone you love. Oh, it's a whole other level. And I have a hard time with this one. And oh, I didn't say in the beginning, if there's a few points that's like inside, it could be just the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, just being like that one is for you. Let's work on this. And this one is hard. Luke 6:35 through 36, but love your enemies, do good to them and lend to them. This is Jesus without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. When someone hurts you or hurts someone you love, you want to like get even or just write them off, right? And showing mercy in these situations is actually giving people what they need, not what they deserve. And that's mercy. And another thing that Jesus says that is extremely hard is pray for our enemies. And I think that's where we actually can start. I have done this many times. And you pray through gritted teeth, right? Has anyone ever prayed through gritted teeth? Am I alone? Yeah. But I have to say, every time that I've done that, it does something inside of me. And if you don't even know where to start, some things that I've done, I've just like, just pray for their family. If they're married, pray for their marriage. Pray that they become all that God has called them to be, that they have freedom in their lives, that God blesses their marriage, blesses their finances, blesses their, just pray that. And if it's through gritted teeth, it's okay. God understands. He's with us and he understands. But this is something that does something in us. It's part of our sanctification. Salvation is super exciting. It's a free gift, right? Our gift of salvation, what God has done for us. But then when we receive, we have salvation, and then we start walking out our journey with Jesus, that's sanctification, and that's hard. And this is sanctification, praying for our enemies. So who has hurt me that I can forgive and do good to? And if appropriate, give a second chance to. And obviously I write if appropriate, because it's not always wise to give a second chance. But it's always good, and we can always do good to those who hurt us. Meaning, you know, doesn't mean that you're taking them out for dinner all the time. But what I mean by that, doing good with how we think about them in our heads, and how we talk about them with other people. That's really somewhere to start. So mercy is being kind to those who offend me. Another tricky one. This is an intense one. Mercy is being kind to those who offend me. Jude 1, 22 through 23. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Think about not just like someone who's like been saved and like kind of like just like be show mercy to the atheist. Show mercy to the one who's confused about a few things. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Love that. Do so with great caution, of course, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. I was in university. I can't remember what year it was, but I walked into one of my classes and the professor, he was like, so we're going to watch a movie today. And I was like, okay, whatever. It should be an easy class. So I sit down and he starts the movie, and it was extremely inappropriate. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, so do I just like not look? But if I don't look, I can still hear. And I just really felt like I actually need to leave. I really think I could walk out. But then all those thoughts pop in my head. I'm like, he could just fail me. He could like fail, you know, an assignment, or I could, you know, if I fail this course and I need this course for my major and then to graduate, and then it's going to affect my GPA, all these thoughts. But I'm like, I actually think I should walk out. So I just gathered my things and I walked out. And as soon as like I walked out, I start booking it down the hall, of course, but I walked out. And that night, that professor, he emailed me, and all I remember what he wrote. I don't remember word for word what I wrote, but all he wrote was, "Hi, Brittany, comma, is everything okay?" And I wanted to write a really kind email back. No, I did not. I wanted to just go. I was offended. I was so angry by the time the day had ended. I had thought myself into a spiral because I was like, and rightfully so in many ways, I was like, your class, no, everything is not okay. Dear professor, this, no, everything is not okay, period. Like I wanted to, your course is a waste of my time and waste of my money. Do you know that I go to class and then after I wait tables to pay for your course and this is a waste of my time? Like I wanted to write all of that in the email back. I didn't. So I like took a second. I'm like, all right. But like I said, mercy is not just saying everything's okay. No, it isn't okay, actually. That's why I left. So I remember a little bit, like I just said, like, hello, thank you so much for your email. I appreciate it. Something like, with all due respect, the movie that was shown was I found it extremely inappropriate and I couldn't sit through it. Something like that. He emailed back and apologized, which was really interesting. I was like, I'm like a 19-year-old and he's like in his 40s, 50s, apologize. I got a 4.0 in that class. I mean, I did my work, but anyway, there's like, I think that's almost meekness. Like it's almost more meekness, but I wanted to rip right into him, right? Like I just wanted to like, would that have done me any good? Probably not. But I did say, no, I didn't say everything's okay. It isn't okay. What, that was not good for any of the students in that class, but for, okay, you get me. James 2, 12 through 13, I think we're going to, yeah. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who is not merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Who offends me that I could pray for rather than just be offended by? Okay, the next one. Mercy is building bridges of love to the unpopular. This is a little, I know this one's a little weird. Let me explain. What I mean by like unpopular is just like people groups, culturally, maybe just status-wise, financially, really people who just you wouldn't normally mesh with or jive with. And mercy is actually, as followers of Jesus, being people who actually bridge that gap. Because, like, we don't win enemies to Jesus, we win friends, right? And not that we have to be friends with everybody, but when we bridge that gap and display that type of life, that does something. That brings mercy into the world. So I like to call this premeditated mercy because it's usually thought out. So let's think of ways we can make premeditated acts of mercy this week. this quote, Samuel Johnson, I read this quote years ago, and it really impacted me. The true measure of a man is how he treats someone who can do him absolutely no good. God did so much work in me in grade 10, 11, 12. In high school, and I was a senior when this happened, and a senior is grade 12 in the States. It's senior anyway. I was in grade 12, every day I would walk to the lunchroom, the cafeteria, and I would pass by a room. And one day, a little thought popped in my head and in my heart, how God speaks to me. And I knew it was God. And it was this thought, like, take your study hall and go volunteer in that room. And the room was all the high schoolers that have special needs. And of course, like, I'm like, oh man, that's like where I do my homework. And like, I don't really want to give up my study hall, but like God just did a little work on me. And I was like, okay. So I like asked, hey, can I volunteer in here? Not knowing all that God would do that year. And so they said, yes, of course. We would love extra help and stuff. So I went in and just like one class a day, my study hall, I would go. I like made cookies with them. And I just like, there was a kid that had Bell's palsy. Cerebral palsy. And I would just read to him and like just spend time with them. And it helped the teachers. And I think it was more for me than for them and all that God did in me. But there was a boy there, and his name was Spencer, and he had Down syndrome. Just the most precious person. Anyway, one day I go in and the teacher comes to me and she's like, hey, I just want to like Spencer's parents called and wanted to ask, just like feel you out and see, because in our high school, the grade 11, there was a prom, grade 11 prom, junior prom, and juniors could go to prom. Anyway, so Spencer was in a grade 11. So I guess his mom and dad were like, hey, Spencer, you get to go to prom this year. Who do you want to go with? Like, what friends do you want to go with? And he immediately said, Brittany Grobler. He talked really fast. And my maiden name is Grobler. And so they were like, we have no idea who Brittany Grobler is. Like, so they called his teachers. Like, do you know who Brittany? Oh, yeah, she volunteers. And so they just wanted to ask me before Spencer asked me, like, would you even do this? And guys, immediately when the teacher asked me, like, I knew, I gotta do this, and I'm gonna do it up. Like, so I said yes, and I wish I had a picture, because his face, oh, I got my hair done, my nails done, all the things for this prom. And so I called his parents, worked it out with his parents. His parents brought him to my house, took pictures. I drove him to his family. We took pictures. We went out to eat. I helped him pay, got his all his monies out of his, you know, thing, and helped him pay. And then we went to prom and had a riot. And just, it makes me teary thinking about it. Like, just so beautiful. Anyway, on the way home from prom, I like 5 minutes into the drive, I look over, he's sleeping. My date fell asleep. And when I got him to his house, I was like, Spencer, time to wake up. that time in my life, I had to add this there. God did something deep in me. No, it doesn't have, I'm not saying it doesn't have to be special needs or whatever, but just bridging the gap and letting God work in us to be available to bridge the gap to a different group of people that we may not be accustomed to being around. Being in foster care did that too. Having a bio mom come into our house. Oh, that was a beautiful time. I wanna read this, Matthew 9, 10 through 13. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors. Like, tax collectors. People hated them. And other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, and I'm guessing very intense with the Pharisees when he says this. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners. When Jesus quotes this, now go and learn, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. That's from the book of Hosea. And Hosea was a prophet to the Jews. And Hosea was condemning the Jews, actually, for their perfect animal sacrifices on the altar, while completely neglecting the poor and the people that actually needed help. He was saying, I don't care about all this when you treat people like dirt. Actually, it matters how we walk out today and how we treat our waitress. He desires mercy to be salt in the earth. rather than rigid rituals, right? Jesus is really saying to the Pharisees here, he's saying, I'm going to go to a party. He's saying this to the Pharisees, to the religious people. I'm going to go to this party because I understand mercy. And I'm going to connect before I correct. And I'm going to value relationship over rules. That's mercy. So there's a couple questions. I have a few more. I don't think we could fit them all. But who's the outcast or unpopular person I can build a bridge of love to? Do I have people around me who are not Christians? When was the last time I hung out with unbelievers? Who is an unbeliever I can invite for coffee or over for dinner this summer? I don't know why it's getting me all choked up. But we are such beautiful salt to the earth. And people need us. And the last one. Mercy should also be given to ourselves. Psalm 38, 4 through 8. I'm drowning in the flood of my sins. They're a burden too heavy to bear. Because I have been foolish, I'm utterly worn out and crushed. My heart is troubled. I have been there. If anyone else has been there, like just the stuff that you've done or stuff done to you, it feels like too heavy to bear. And it makes you almost think like, I have disappointed God. But what I discovered actually, you haven't. Because disappointment is the gap between expectation and reality. And God knows everything. He's not like us. He can't be disappointed. He is so interested in our freedom. He's more interested in our freedom than judging us. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:13-15. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance today. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Is there anything I need to forgive myself for today? We had a small group this past fall, and every Friday night we would just have dinner and, just do stuff. And then at the end, we would just choose a couple to pray for. And there's just a beautiful couple. I just love this couple. And when we prayed over them, I had this picture pop in my head, and it was mainly, really both of them, up on a hook on the back of a door, like their shirt. They were up on, like hanging there. And so I just like started praying that, and I was like, hey guys, I just feel like God is like, hey, who put you up there? I felt like Jesus was kind of asking them, like, who put you up there? And I really felt like they put themselves up there. And Jesus was saying that night, like, hey, you can get down. I'm going to help you get down. Because you can't get down on your own, right? If you were hooked up on a hook behind a door. And like Jesus in his big arms, I just saw Jesus help them off of that hook, and they were free. And a lot of times we put ourselves up on a hook because of the things that we've done. But Jesus today is so interested in our freedom. And sometimes it feels a little overboard at times because you don't know what I've done, or you don't know the situation or whatever. But I was thinking about this. Mercy is actually, like, can we go overboard with mercy? With other people, with the world around us, with ourselves? It's a little overboard, right? Like, we don't want to get a little overboard. Like, actually, it is overboard. The cross is overboard. What Jesus has done is overboard. So overboard. Like the fact that we can even take our next breath, overboard, because of the grace and the mercy that he has for us. So guys, let's receive that mercy that he has for us and go be ministers of mercy to the world around us. When you go through the McDonald's drive-thru today, when you go get gas, when you whatever, let's just be ministers of mercy, receiving God's mercy for ourselves and ministering to the world around us. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the mercy that you've shown us. undeserved. We don't have to earn it. We don't deserve it, but you give it to us. And God, let this settle in our hearts that we have this amazing, exciting calling to be ministers of mercy to the world. Harvest is a bunch of ministers that are going to go out the doors today and be that to the world. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. All will be added. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. All will be added. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. All will be added. You will be filled. This is the kingdom of heaven, as it will, as can he will. This is the kingdom, this is the kingdom, this is the kingdom of heaven.
Just before we go today, I wonder if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. It's just a moment of reflection. The Bible says that all of us are the enemies of God. That we are born in sin, separated from God. And that the posture of our heart and life is against God. You might think, well, I'm not against God. But that separation, our sin that we're born with, that we come into this world with, that causes us to be the very enemies of God. That God said that while we were in that state, while we were in that place, Jesus died for us. That he extended mercy toward the sinner, the person who is separated from God because of their sin. We deserve the judgment of God. But he placed his judgment on his son Jesus in our place. So that judgment is not on your life today. He is extending mercy. Mercies we heard is we don't deserve it. We deserve judgment, but instead he extends mercy. And that mercy is to receive us, to love us, to forgive our sin. If you're here today and you've never received the mercy of God, or maybe it's been a long, long time since you've thought about it, but today he's extending mercy to you, forgiveness of sin, and grace, giving you what we don't deserve, his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his eternal life. If that's you today, I would love to lead you in a prayer to receive the mercy and forgiveness of God today. I'm simply going to count down from three. I'll go 3, 2, and 1. And when I just get to one, just slip your hand up in this moment where our eyes are closed. We're just meditating. Most of us in the room have made this decision. But today, if you're here and you've never made this decision, or it's been a long, long time, I want to give you this opportunity right now. In 3, in 2. This is for you today. In 1. Just raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Number of hands today. What I would like you to do is now take a next step. and pray this prayer. We're all going to pray it together, but we want to stand today with you. Perhaps online, you can just text in today, "I'm making the decision to receive mercy." If you raised your hand, pray this prayer with us. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I need your mercy today. I receive your mercy. I receive forgiveness of my sin. I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as my Lord. Today, I am born again. I receive new life and a new destiny. I receive life in you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, go ahead and put your hands together and celebrate with those who raise their hand today. So amazing. Hey, we'd like you to take one more step. Raising your hand was amazing. Praying that prayer. But on the back of your notes, there's a place where you can just check off, "Today, I receive Jesus." And take it to someone, one of our hosts. They're wearing black shirts today. We just have a small gift for you, and it includes a Bible. We'd love for you to begin reading God's Word. Let me pray for you today. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing service. We thank you, Lord, for your word today declaring that we are receiving your mercy. We're going to be those who pour out mercy. Let us be known as a church, not of judgment, but let us be known as a church that triumphs over judgment because we give mercy. We pray that now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you so much.